welcome, everybody. This is kind of week three. This is our third phone call as part of our program, but it's really like week one and a half as far as the food goes. So I'm just totally excited to be on the call tonight, and it's been an amazing week of working with many of you in the office and having some great realizations come up for you guys, and then also to read some of the emails and hear some of the great things that are happening. This has been just a tremendously rewarding week for me. So once again, I have to thank you all for participating in this class. And we are going to do some tapping tonight. As usual, I'd like to open up first a few minutes for questions. So I'm going to turn the Q&A on right now. And remembering that if you have a question, you can press star 6. And if you press star 6 and you want to ask a question, then I will call on you and you can ask a question. And it can be anything from a food question to a tapping question or an emotional question. I know lots of different emotions came up for people this week. Some people had really good emotions come up. Some people had a little bit scary emotions come up. Some people said, gosh, where the heck did that come from? So how is everybody doing? Let me just ask how everybody is doing on the food part. Are you enjoying the food? Are you able to make it easily enough? Are you finding all of the products that you need? Are you just loving the smoothies? I found myself actually craving a smoothie earlier this week, so I had to go make one. And I found it to be very satisfying. So I think our bodies get used to putting that healthy food into them, and we like that. Has anybody noticed that they're feeling hungry or feeling satisfied on the food? Any questions about how to prepare any of it? How's the family doing? Okay, hold on here. We have Melinda. Hi, Melinda.
Hi, Karen.
Hey, what can we answer?
I realized since I am doing really well as far as the emotional eating and not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
And I've got this fridge full of beautiful vegetables and stuff, but I'm not eating. It's like I don't know what's going on. I mean, I had like probably 10 sticks of celery with some almond butter on it today, and I had a cutie, and then I grabbed a couple celery sticks when I got home just before the call, but that's about it. It's like, I don't know, and I know I need to eat more than that.
Okay. That's a good question that you brought up, and here's the very interesting thing about food. Well, first of all, it's very complex and interesting, as we're finding out. When we are putting very healthy foods into our bodies, that's actually, those foods are called nutrient dense. So if you ate a cup of pasta versus a cup of kale, for example, the kale is going to give you so much more nutrition than the pasta that it's ridiculous. The amount of nutrition that you're going to get from fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds is, you know, 10, if not 100 times greater than what you'll get in processed foods like pasta and crackers and breads and so on. And so as we start to put better things into our body, we tend to need less food. So you can think of it as I can eat 1,000 calories of extremely healthy food and be well nourished. Or maybe you would have to eat 2,000 calories of not-so-healthy food to get the same amount of nutrition out of the food. And it took me a while to be comfortable with this. It was kind of like, oh, that doesn't seem like enough food, and am I going to starve? And I only ate half of my dinner, and I thought my dinner was small to begin with. So it's a little bit different to get used to. So that's one aspect to remember, is that the quality of the food that you're putting in is much better. But then the second thing to remember is that the statement that you just said, I know I should eat more. And you've been doing with this work with me long enough to know what I'm probably going to ask. When you say you should, where does that come from?
Because I, okay, like today I didn't have a smoothie or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I drink water and I drink coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I've had. But I'm,
okay.
I don't feel hungry.
Okay.
And I don't feel, you know, I've tested my blood sugar and it's not dropping.
Okay.
So, but it's like, okay, really, is that all I need?
Right. So kind of where I'm going with that should part is we are very, very rule-based when it comes to our dieting. We have, and even I've done this as a dietitian before, so I apologize to all of you right now for doing, if I ever did that to you. But we're very rule-oriented and very rule-based. So we should eat this. We should eat at that time. We should eat three meals. We should have six meals. There are just, there's so many rules. We should. And the bottom line is, the very best way for us to fuel our bodies is to really, really listen to what we need and how satisfied or how full we are. So perhaps today you ate some celery. What did you have? Celery with peanut butter, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay. So some celery with peanut butter and a few other things for the day. And have you, you've checked in with yourself and you feel satisfied?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've tested your blood sugar and your blood sugar's fine?
Yeah.
And you didn't pass out?
Nope. And I didn't get that fog when I know my blood sugar's dropped.
Okay.
Because I haven't been eating like I should.
There it comes again. So I think what's happening, my dear, is that you are really just starting to listen to your body, and it's telling you that you're okay, but all the rules are saying, no, no, you should, and that's just getting in the way a little bit.
Okay. That makes
so,
sense.
Yeah, in reality, there may be some days where you don't really need very much food, and maybe there will be days where you're like, oh, my gosh, I had three eggs for breakfast, and I needed four eggs for breakfast. And we need to let that be okay.
Okay.
I know that's a stretch, but I think what you're doing is really listening to your body, and that's a really good thing.
Okay. That I like that answer.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Any other questions about the food that you have?
No.
Okay. Thanks, Melinda.
You.
Any other from anybody else? Any food questions, hunger questions? Is anybody experiencing being more full than they thought maybe they would? I did have people tell me this week, either through email or privately, that they were a little bit amazed that they actually felt full. All right, I'm going to unmute Kathy. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
I'm running around like crazy. Hey, I just had a question. My mom and I were talking today.
Yes.
And actually, I'm loving eating more vegetables. My sister and I are grooving on feeling superior in the grocery line. So with all our bags
nice.
And bags of veggies and fruit, she goes, oh, I felt so superior. I didn't have any junk in my cart. Anyway, my mom was talking to a friend who's on a similar diet plan as we're doing, but she hit a plateau and wasn't losing any weight, and her doctor said, you're not getting enough calories, you should be eating more because your body's gone into starvation mode, and we've all heard that phrase before. My question is, like Melinda, who spoke earlier, said, well, she just didn't feel that hungry and knew she should be eating more. So how long will your body stay in this, like, starvation mode and keep you from losing weight? Because I assume if you're not taking in enough calories, eventually you're going to lose weight regardless of what your body, you know, thinks it's doing. Does that make sense?
Sure. And so there's just a little bit more detail to the starvation mode question that we all ask all the time. Excuse me, and it kind of has to do with the adrenal glands and the stress response. So if we're thinking about, and we've talked about the stress response before, when you eat, when you feel stress and you have like that fight or flight response, and it has your body make extra adrenaline and extra cortisol,
right.
And both of those things can contribute to weight gain. Okay, so if you're in chronic fight or flight mode, which many people are, or you're stressed all the time, or you're going a zillion miles per hour, then in general what happens is that your adrenal glands make more adrenaline and more cortisol.
Okay.
That adrenaline tells your liver to put extra sugar into your blood in case you need to run away from the bear or handle all of the stress. It's like your liver's way of trying to help you out.
Okay.
So on the one hand, you have your liver putting more sugar into the blood, but the problem is you don't get to run away from the bear at that point in time. It might be your children, your job, life, whatever, and you're stuck. So there's really no place for that sugar to go. And then to compound things, at the same time, your adrenal glands are telling your body to make more cortisol, and the cortisol is the hormone that helps you store fat better.
Right.
So now you have extra sugar floating in your blood and you become even better at storing fat because your body's basically saying, oh my gosh, you are under so much stress. We better store some fat in case you need this in the future.
Got it.
Okay, so that's kind of the stress response. Then what happens a lot of times when people diet and they diet severely and they are intentionally cutting calories, but they're not really paying attention to how they feel. They're like, oh my gosh, I can only have 600 calories because that's what my program says and I better stay below that. And even if I'm hungry, I'm only going to eat 600. And also on top of this, I'm going to exercise my butt off because I need to do all of that to lose weight.
Okay.
So that unfortunately puts your body into even more of a stress mode, which basically your body says, you've got to be kidding me. You're already stressing me out. Now you're barely going to feed me, and you're going to over-exercise me, and you want me to release all this fat. And the thinking is that your body says, no, forget it. I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
That is a much different scenario than what we're trying to do here, where we're actually listening to our bodies, and we are liking ourselves. So for Melinda, for example, if she's putting in some celery and peanut butter and a few other things, and while she's doing that, she's like, I'm okay with myself. I love myself. I feel satisfied. If I want more celery and peanut butter, I will have it. If I need a smoothie or drink of something later on, I will do that. So all the while, her brain is going, wow, this is a good thing. I'm feeling positive. I'm satisfied, and she's not feeling deprived or angry. She's in a totally different frame of mind than the chronic dieter who is just trying to cut calories.
Okay.
Because they are convinced that's the only way that they can lose weight.
Right.
So in Melinda's case, her adrenal glands are going, wow, this is kind of nice. There's no stress. There's no worry. She's okay with things. I guess we can just chill out and we'll use this food and we'll burn up some calories that we, you know, have stored. The stress person is going to go, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I'm going to hang on to everything.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but my bottom line question is, like, let's say this person was taking in 1,200 calories a day, and she quit losing weight, and the doctor said, you need to eat more because your body doesn't want to, you know, doesn't like this amount of calories. Well, at some point, someone who's living on, I mean, people do starve to death. So at some point, at what point, and this is mostly just for curiosity, does someone who's on a restricted calorie diet get past that plateau and actually start losing weight, even if it's in an unhealthy way? I know people lose muscle mass, et cetera.
Right.
I'm just asking, it typically, if someone were to stay on that too few calories, how long would they be able to do that? I mean, before the body did start losing poundage.
My answer to that would be they are not going to start losing body fat until they do some work on their emotions.
Right.
Which is a kind of a loaded answer because what is going to happen is if they keep on restricting calories is they are going to burn lean muscle mass. That's just a fact.
Right.
And then their metabolism does slow down because factually muscle burns calories at a faster rate than fat does.
Okay,
so
they could go a really long time without doing having any healthy weight loss.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I'm firmly convinced that that person will go down that path and then lose muscle mass and then their metabolism really would slow at that point, and then they will become even more and more frustrated, and then they'll basically say, screw it, and then they'll start eating like crazy again.
Right.
The whole thing will backfire.
Okay.
So
well,
if I was the doctor, what I would say if I was the doctor, but I wouldn't be the doctor, if the person came to me and said, I'm only eating 1,200 calories and I'm not losing weight, what should I do? I would say, let's work on the emotional eating aspect.
Okay.
Instead of saying add in more calories. I wouldn't necessarily say eat fewer calories or do whatever. I would say honor what your body needs and listen to it and then work on the emotional part.
Okay. And so like with the I'm flip-flopping on you, but earlier when you're saying, you know, that I should eat thing, I'm messing up my kid who doesn't like breakfast, but he heads off to school and I don't want him not to eat anything at all until noon. When they have all their hard classes first thing in the morning. And I'm always saying, you need to eat something, you need to eat something. Do I just stop that? Or?
Well, the dilemma with that is that in the school environment, and in a work environment, and really lots of environments, there isn't the opportunity for him to actually listen to his body.
Right. There's no other time to go eat.
Right. He may get hungry at 10:03. And in the ideal world, he would eat at 10:03 and fuel his body and fuel his mind and go about his day.
Right.
But our society doesn't necessarily allow for that.
Gotcha.
And so at that point in time, you kind of have to adapt, you know, and do the best you can. But if you think back to when we're babies, what do babies do when they're hungry?
They cry.
They cry and they scream.
And then they eat.
And then they eat, and then they're fine. And then they could be hungry an hour later, and they would cry and scream again. And some moms would say, oh, gosh, they must be hungry again. Let me feed them. And then other moms would say, oh, no, they can't possibly be hungry. They're going to wait for 4 more hours until I've decided they're hungry.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, that baby's hungry right now, you know. I'm just kind of speaking from some mother-in-law experience, and I'm having a flashback up, but you know what I'm saying. It's like they can't be hungry. Well, yes, she can, actually. She's a baby. She can be hungry whenever she wants to. So we turn off those internal cues. Ideally, we would all listen to our bodies. And for your son, he would go to school and go, wow, it's 10:03. I think I'll bring the snack that my mom packed for me and have it right now. But then his teacher will get mad at him.
Right. Or
you know,
no time,
boss, or you'll be in the middle of a meeting or something like that. Mm-hmm. So then you just have to do the best you can.
Okay.
Good questions.
Thank you.
Yes. Any other questions regarding food and rules and times and listening to your body? Okay. Well, if you have any more questions like that, then they come up later, write them down, and we will we'll come back to that. I'm going to turn the Q&A off for the moment. And let's go ahead and move on to some of the emotional aspects that might be coming up for people. And it's so funny how it works in my office. There just seem to be theme weeks, and everyone seems to have similar issues, and maybe it was just meant to be that way. But one of the themes that came up in the office was really being okay with loving and accepting ourselves. And also, that was one theme. And then another theme was being embarrassed or ashamed or angry about becoming overweight. How did this happen in the first place? And And then, of course, that led to how could I possibly love and accept myself because I've gained weight and I'm a failure and so on. So we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about that, and then we'll do some tapping. When these emotions come up for people, what I want to really emphasize is that this is a good thing. It may be a little bit painful at first, but overall, when these emotions come up, if you can all look at it as an amazing opportunity to allow some healing to occur, then incredible things will happen to you. And I sent out the email about the popcorn, for example. My issue, as most of you know by now, was sitting on the couch and eating popcorn, and hunger had absolutely nothing to do with it. And I told you guys and some of my clients, if I could have just sat on the couch every night and had popcorn or cookies or whatever and never gained weight, I would probably still be doing that. And it might feel okay. But the reality is that that didn't work. I would gain weight or not be able to lose weight, and you know, then I would wonder why. Well, of course, why you have a 1,000-calorie snack after dinner, that's going to contribute to some weight. And so if we take a look at our weight as a symptom of what might be going on in our lives, then we can really start to get a perspective as to what is really going on. And along with that, what that means is that our weight does not define us. Rather, it's just a symptom that is letting us know what would be important for us to work on to heal. I had another client come in this week who has had some pretty traumatic events happen in her life, and she came in for weight probably 6 or 7 months ago, and we've been meeting once a month to work on things. And yesterday we worked on some issues with her. It was last week, actually, how time flies. We worked on some issues, and when we were finished, she said, "Oh my gosh, I had no idea we would work on something like this, and if it wasn't for the weight, I would never have come to see you, and I never, ever would have paid attention to this issue." And she was so grateful. It was just amazing for her to realize how her weight was a symptom of what was really going on. And then she got to address those underlying emotions, and now she is finding so much more peace in the area of her life. So if you're feeling like your weight is defining you, or that you're a failure, then really what we're going to work on tonight is releasing some of those emotions and also trying to define what it really means to love and accept yourself. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to leave the Q&A on. So if at any time anybody feels like asking a question, you can just press *6 and raise your hand. But when I say that to you, ladies, that weight is a system and that it gently forces us to pay attention to things that are going on in life that might need some attention, does anybody relate to that or have a comment or something that they would like to share with regard to that? That weight has been a symptom, and that by working on their weight issues, they've discovered some important things about themselves. Just ponder that for a moment, and really I'm asking you to think about weight in a different way. Not that you are a number on a scale, but that your weight is just a way of finding out what might be important for you to work on. So it's kind of a deep question. It usually does provide some pretty good insight for us. Okay. All right. Melinda, yes, thanks for raising your hand.
If we want to use me as an example,
Sure.
I first came to you. It was strictly for diabetic nutrition because was diabetic, type 2, not taking care of myself, and it's like, okay, I better figure this out. I'm going to be this the rest of my life, and I need to know exactly what it is. And you went through your presentation about the liver and the insulin and all this other stuff and how it works and what it does. And you said, I think there's something else that might work better for you. And that's when the light bulb went on and you saved me. And that my issue wasn't really with the food. And I'm one who's open to new ideas and things like that because I've been heavy for most of my, well, all of my adult life and my teen years. And I thought I was as a child, but when I look back at pictures of me now, I wasn't. I was just a little girl. Mm. And realizing I listened to everything and took in what was being said to me and about me. But when we hit the emotional stuff, the things that I had kept inside for so long and was able to tap and release all that. And the biggest thing is to forgive myself.
Yeah.
And really, truly be able to look in the mirror and say, I love you and mean it. Because that happened just before my 50th birthday. And so for a good, I'm going to say 45 years, when I looked in the mirror every morning, getting ready for work, whatever I did, it was like, oh, you disgust me. That's what I heard. That's what I saw. That's what I said to myself every day, every time I looked in the mirror. And once I was able to let go of this stuff and forgive myself, all of a sudden I realized I don't hear that anymore. I look in the mirror and think, oh, you look really good today. Granted, sometimes it's like, do with your hair. But but it wasn't that you're a piece of shit.
Okay.
Not that anymore. So the tapping and the emotional stuff, I'm here to say it's what it is. And when you let go of that, it's a life-changing thing.
And thank you. I would say that, and I won't share intimate details, but for Melinda, she has made progress in areas of finance and relationships and her house and her mom and friendships. As I reflect upon this, there have been many, many areas where you have had some major shifts. And
even looking at my dad, before I started with you, I couldn't even call him my dad. It was him or that man.
Yeah.
And now it's my dad, and I've forgiven him, and
it's
done.
And I think probably the most important thing in what we're going to talk about tonight is that for you to be able to look in the mirror right now and say that you love and accept yourself, first of all, and I mean this as a compliment, we have no definition of perfect. I mean, if we're waiting for perfect to happen, it's going to be a really long wait, right?
Right.
But so acknowledging that I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, we all have things that we want to work on, to still be able to look in the mirror and say, I love you, even with our imperfections, to me that is the most amazing thing that has happened for you.
Yes, me too.
Yay. And that is definitely what we're going to work on in just a few minutes here, so thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
All right. I'm going to unmute 3355. You are unmuted.
Hi, Karen. As I was listening to you talk, I was just thinking about, like, throughout my whole life, how I would always, like, literally starve myself, like 800 to 1,000 calories is what I would eat. Trying out when I was dieting, and I would become so obsessed with this scale that I would find myself weighing myself 4 or 5 times a day. And if it didn't move, like an hour later, if it hadn't dropped down, then I would become discouraged. And so it became like a craziness part of my life that I just, that scale ran everything, how I felt about myself, how I was starving myself, and I was obsessed with that scale. So this, the way we're doing it now is much more peaceful and calm and feels more natural in the way we should be doing it.
Oh, thank you. That if we're all honest, there are so many women, including myself, who have weighed themselves more than once a day. It's like first thing in the morning, okay, better go to the bathroom, then later, and then in the evening, and it's like, are you kidding me? And we define ourselves by that number on the scale. And when we look at this from an energy standpoint, if you can in your mind picture a vertical line, and at the center of the vertical line is zero, that would be like neutral. And all of the negative emotions are below that center line. So we have fear and guilt and shame and anger and frustration. Those are all extremely negative emotions. And when our bodies are experiencing those emotions, we are more susceptible to illness and disease and depression, and definitely not success. That is not where success comes from. So if I tell you how awful you are, or you tell you how awful you are, it is not motivating. It actually scientifically is proven to only make things worse. But that's what we do with all of these programs. On the flip side, if you are on the positive side of that little scale, not the scale that you're standing on, but this meter, and you're feeling love and joy and acceptance and peace, then that's where things are going to happen. So... yay, that's what we're trying to do.
Thanks.
Good job. Thank you. Okay, any other comments before we get into some tapping? Hopefully this is resonating well with people and giving you a lot of things to think about as well. Okay. We are going to move into a tapping script, and I'll be needing an echo, so be thinking if there's somebody out there that would be my echo. Before we do that, one last thing we're going to talk about is the part of the tapping script where we say, even though I have this problem, I love and accept myself anyway. Sometimes that is challenging for people to say that they love and accept themselves. Part of it is because we maybe haven't gotten to the point where we really do love ourselves. But the acceptance part is sometimes tricky for people because they feel like if I say I accept myself, then I'm okay, I don't have to do anything, I'll just be a couch potato, or I'm settling for less. And it's challenging for their brains to say that they accept themselves. And so what happens is that we build up this critic inside of our minds, and we're kind of feeding that critic. And basically, if we have to wait until we're perfect to accept ourselves, well, that probably isn't ever going to happen. And so if we can love and accept ourselves first, basically say, you know what, even though I have all this crap, I accept myself. Then we have opened the door to, I'm really okay and I do accept myself. And then we can still acknowledge that we have stuff to work on. Otherwise, what happens is that basically it's like, if I do this and this and this and this and do this work and this work and this work and attain this goal and this goal and this goal and lose this weight and this weight and this weight, then maybe I can accept myself. Which, whew, I don't know about you guys, but that's a pretty tall order, and I don't actually ever see that will happen. That's very conditional acceptance. If I do all of this, then maybe I'll give myself a chance and accept myself. Or, you know what, I accept myself right now, and I'm willing to do the work that I would like to do because I love and accept myself. So hopefully everybody can see and feel the difference in those two statements, and that will make it a little bit easier to say that you love and accept yourself. All right. We are going to do a little tapping script on just the shame or the embarrassment or some of the feelings that sometimes come up with being overweight. And I do need a volunteer to be my echo, which basically means that you'll just repeat what I say. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's applying directly to you, but I just need someone to be my echo for me. So please go ahead and press star 6 to raise your hand if you are willing to be my echo. All right, thank you. Okay, 3355, you are the echo. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And everybody else, of course, just repeat along to yourselves, or you can do it out loud if you have some privacy to do that. And let's go ahead and start either on the sore spot or on the side of your hand on the karate chop point, wherever you are the most comfortable. And again, this is a generic script that I wrote. It's not directed towards any one person. So there may be parts of it that apply to you and parts of it that don't. And so just trust that it will work for you wherever you're at in this process. All right. Here we go. Even though I am so embarrassed that I'm overweight.
Even though I am so embarrassed that I am overweight. I deeply and completely
love and accept myself.
Love and accept myself.
Even though I'm ashamed to be overweight.
Even though I'm ashamed to be overweight.
I completely and deeply love and accept myself.
I completely and deeply love and accept myself.
Even though I feel guilty.
Even though I feel guilty.
That I haven't been able to lose weight.
That I haven't been able to lose weight.
I completely love and accept myself.
I completely and deeply love and accept myself.
Okay, good. Now let's go ahead and everybody start at the top of the head. And then we'll work our way down through the points, the top of the head, the three points around the eye, under the nose, the chin, the collarbone, under the arm, and the side of the hand, and then you'll continue to use those points. Okay, here we go. Oh, this is embarrassing.
This is embarrassing.
Being overweight is embarrassing.
Being overweight is embarrassing.
I feel like a failure.
I feel like a failure.
Why couldn't I do this?
Why couldn't I do this?
Apparently I eat too much.
Apparently I eat too much.
And I guess I don't exercise enough.
And I guess I don't exercise enough.
This is so embarrassing.
This is so embarrassing.
How did this happen?
How did this happen?
I can't believe I got to this point.
I can't believe I got to this point.
I've really let myself down.
I've really let myself down.
I think I deserve this shame.
I think I deserve this shame.
And this embarrassment.
And this embarrassment.
Apparently I'm not strong enough.
Apparently I'm not strong enough.
Maybe I'm not good enough.
Maybe I'm not good enough.
Maybe I don't have willpower.
Maybe I don't have willpower.
That's what all the books tell me.
That's what all the books tell me.
Just have willpower.
Just have willpower.
Don't eat so much.
Don't eat so much.
Do this exercise plan.
Do this exercise plan.
Be strong.
Be strong.
Be lean and mean.
Be lean and mean.
And then when it doesn't happen.
And then when it doesn't happen.
I feel like a failure.
I feel like a failure.
I'm good in so many areas of my life.
I'm good in so many areas of my life.
I guess I'm just weak.
I guess I'm just weak.
That's all I can think of.
That's all I can think of.
What is the matter with me?
What is the matter with me?
Okay, everybody close your eyes and take a deep breath in. All right. So pausing for here for just a moment, what very often happens here is that you will notice some thoughts and emotions that would come up for you that would be very personal for you or relative to you. Maybe it relates to a way that you feel about yourself or the money that you've spent or the time that you've been trying to lose weight. So just go ahead and take a moment to maybe jot some of those things down. Those would be excellent things to tap on again, either on your own or if you need some help with that, let me know. But that was designed to get you thinking about some of the negative emotions that sometimes happen with weight. And a lot of times when people are tapping, I'll get the question, why do we have to tap on the negative stuff first? Why do we even have to bring up all this negative stuff? And aren't we supposed to be positive and so on? But the reality of this is, and I hear this every day in the training and the stuff that I do, is that these thoughts are running around in our subconscious 24/7. So even though we don't necessarily want to acknowledge that they're there, they are. And what we're doing right now is just being honest and going, yep, those are the thoughts that are there. But we're also giving ourselves an opportunity to heal those emotions and to clear those thoughts. And that's what we're going to do right now. All right. So let's go ahead and have you start tapping again on the top of your head. Maybe there's another perspective here.
Maybe there's another perspective here.
Maybe there's something I need to learn from this.
Maybe there's something I should learn from this.
Maybe I'll be open to learning this lesson.
Maybe I'll be open to learning this lesson.
Maybe being overweight is a symptom.
Maybe being overweight is a symptom.
It doesn't really define who I am.
It doesn't really define who I am.
It doesn't even feel like who I am.
It doesn't even feel like who I am.
It doesn't make me a bad person.
It doesn't make me a bad person.
Maybe it means that my body is sending me a message.
Maybe it means my body is sending me a message.
And it's trying very hard to make me aware.
It's trying very hard to make me aware.
Of my beliefs.
Of my beliefs.
And my habits.
And my habits.
Maybe I wasn't listening before.
Maybe I wasn't listening before.
All those magazines and advertisements.
All those magazines and advertisements.
I got sucked in.
I got sucked in.
And then when one of them didn't work.
And then when one of them didn't work.
I'd feel like a failure.
I'd feel like a failure.
And I'd try something else.
And I'd try something else.
Maybe I needed to look inside.
Maybe I needed to look inside.
And just listen.
And just listen.
What if my body is trying to help me?
What if my body is trying to help me?
Maybe I should listen.
Maybe I should listen.
I could be kind to myself.
I should be kind to myself.
I could try that.
I could try that.
What if I'm doing my best?
What if I'm doing my best?
With the resources I have.
With the resources that I have.
I didn't know about all this emotional stuff.
I didn't know about all of this emotional stuff.
I wish I'd known.
I wish I'd known.
I'm glad I know now.
I'm glad I know now.
I'm really listening to my body.
I'm really listening to my body.
And to my spirit.
And to my spirit.
It really loves me.
It really loves me.
Perhaps I should love it back.
Perhaps I should love it back.
Think I'll start listening to my body.
Think I'll start listening to my body.
And the messages it's sending me.
And the messages that it's sending me.
I think this extra weight is a symptom.
I think this extra weight is a symptom.
Of something I'm ignoring.
Of something I'm ignoring.
I wonder what the message could be.
I wonder what the message could be.
I'm open to hearing this message.
I'm open to hearing this message.
Of what part of my life?
Of what part of my life?
Feels uncomfortable.
Feels uncomfortable.
Or what part of my life?
Or what part of my life?
Feels sad or lonely.
Feels sad and lonely.
Or what part of my life?
Or what part of my life?
This weight is protecting me from.
This weight is protecting me from.
I'm open to finding out what it is.
I'm open to finding out what it is.
It might be a little bit scary.
It might be a little bit scary.
I don't know if I want to know.
I don't know if I want to know.
What if it's too deep for me to handle?
What if it's too deep for me to handle?
But keeping it buried.
Keeping it buried.
Is not working either.
Is not working either.
I'm ready to let this go.
I'm ready to let this go.
I'm really open to listening.
I'm really open to listening.
I'm ready to appreciate.
I'm ready to appreciate.
What my body has done for me.
What my body has done for me.
I'm open to hearing the messages.
I'm open to hearing the messages.
I'm giving my body permission.
I'm giving my body permission.
To let me know.
To let me know
how I can take care of myself.
How I can take care of myself.
How I can value myself.
How I can value myself.
How I can be happy.
How I can be happy.
And experience peace.
And experience peace.
I'm releasing the guilt and shame.
I'm releasing the guilt and shame.
That I've held on to.
That I've held on to.
There is no shame.
There is no shame.
In trying to protect myself.
In trying to protect myself.
Thank you, body, for helping me out.
Thank you, body, for helping me out.
I'm really excited to be listening to you.
I'm really excited to be listening to you.
I truly love.
I truly love.
And accept you.
And accept you.
Thank you, body.
Thank you, body.
For working with me.
For working with me.
I truly love.
I truly love.
And accept you.
And accept you.
Okay, good job. Everybody, close your eyes again and take a deep breath in. Just kind of let that sit for a moment. Just feeling what it feels like to let go of the shame and the guilt. To acknowledge that maybe we just didn't have the tools and we weren't listening to the messages, but to release any judgment on ourselves because of that. To be so grateful that we have the opportunity to listen to our bodies now and for the opportunities that are going to show up for us to heal. Being so open to whatever good energies will come of these experiences. and learning how to truly love and accept ourselves and to know what that feels like. Caller, do you have any comments or anything on what we just did?
You know, I was just thinking, the only thing that I can think of, the one word that keeps coming is thank you, that I have finally been able to release that guilt and shame and move on from that and find the peace that I've been looking for. Because I've not obviously been at peace with food, and I feel like that I'm reaching that point slowly but surely.
Well, if you're trying to make me cry, that it's working. That is so good. That is just really, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Whew. Good release of emotions there. No, no, it's really good. It just makes me very, very happy. That is to release that. It just, that doesn't work for us, and so many people have held on to that for so long. And to know that you guys are starting to release that and let that go is it's just great. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else want to raise their hand and share anything that came to them or how they're feeling? That was very, very powerful. That hopefully brought up some emotions that everybody is able to let go of that. If you didn't find it easy to let go of that, that just means that there's a little bit more work that needs to be done. I know some of you on the call are newer to energy work and tapping and EFT and actually just even exploring these emotions. So you may want to listen to this call again and go through the exercise, you know, several times. You can listen to it 2, 3, 4 more times, do some tapping on your own. You can call me and we can do a visit, or if you're long distance, we can do something Skype or over the phone. But tonight was really good, letting go of some of those emotions and learning that it's really okay to love and accept ourselves. Anybody else want to raise their hand? Go ahead and feel free to do that now. Otherwise, I'm going to sleep really well tonight, knowing that some good shifting is happening. And all right, I'm going to turn that off and. I'm going to take us off of mute. So everybody's going to be unmuted now, so be careful. Okay. So we're about ready to wrap up. We have just a couple minutes left here. And before we do, I just wanted to thank everybody again. I will be sending out some more menus, and what I'm hearing from people is that they're doing okay with the menus that we have right now. They're liking the foods, and everybody feels like they could really keep on doing this for another week. So I think that's the plan. I had thought about doing this for 2 weeks and then having people reintroduce some different foods into their diet, but if it's okay with everybody, we'll keep on doing it this way for at least another week. However, if you feel differently, you know, please honor your body and do what's right for you. But so far what I'm hearing is that everybody is doing okay on the food and feeling good. Questions or comments on that? Okay. So we're going to wrap up here for now. I, again, so honored and pleased to be a part of your group. If you have questions, you can email me privately. And if you need some more help, let me know that way. We'll plan on meeting again next Tuesday, and I will send you information in between now and then. And everybody have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much.